Welcome to the Washington AI Network podcast, where we bring together official Washington policymakers, DC insiders, and AI experts who are challenging, debating, and just trying to figure out the rules of the road for artificial intelligence. We're here in Paris.
At the incredible Station F, my special guest is Anne Bouvereau, who's President Macron's special envoy for AI. Anne, we are so glad to have you here. Thanks for inviting us.
Thank you for coming.
And we're only 2 months away.
Yes.
From the AI Action Summit. You're the bravest woman in AI.
I don't know.
You're bringing the whole world together.
Yes.
Tell us how it's going and what the plan is.
Well, we're really looking forward to the AI Action Summit. We're looking to more people like you coming. And actually, we have a great list of people who have already confirmed and people saying, I didn't get my invitation yet. So
yes.
we really like this. The summit will be held at the Grand Palais. We're really lucky that with the Olympics, we had lots of beautiful buildings that were renovated. So we're going to be using the Grand Palais. And we'll also be using a couple of other locations in Paris, such as Station F.
Well, tell us about Station F, because I see AWS, Google, Apple, OpenAI. I'm sorry, but I don't ever remember these companies being in the same place.
Ah, wonderful. This is the largest startup incubator in Paris, in France, I think pretty much in Europe. So it's an old building. It was like a factory or something that has been completely renovated and is now available for startups. So you also see lots of other names. You see the Mistrals. You see, I look at Takara, Snowflake. I mean, everyone is here from all around the world.
Well, it's interesting because at first blush, you would not think that France is the place for an AI action summit to bring the whole world together. But they are coming together for you. What has been the reaction from countries? And then I want to talk about the companies. But let's start with countries first.
Well, there's a tradition in France of bringing a number of stakeholders, really a multi-stakeholder type open summits or meetings. This is something that France has been doing for a number of years. And in terms of AI, this is really something that governments react quite positively to. But actually a lot of countries in the world are saying AI is happening. It's arriving very, very fast. It's going to have a transformative impact. How can I and my country, how can we have a local ecosystem to develop AI for our own needs, for our culture, for our people? And therefore, they're really, really keen to come and have discussions about that. They don't want to be just AI takers and for others to be AI givers. They want to be part of the conversation, of the development. They want to have their own people be part of it. And so that's why we'll have fascinating discussions in February.
Well, it's very interesting because one of your objectives is to make sure that all countries are represented, all people are represented as you consider what should be done in AI today. How is that going to happen at the summit?
So we've invited, I think, over 95 heads of states from countries in the global north, the global south, Asia, Americas, Europe, Africa, Oceania. So we've invited broadly in terms of heads of states. We've also invited broadly in terms of companies. Of course, lots of great companies in the US, lots of great companies in France and in Europe, but lots of great companies around the world. World as well. We've also invited researchers. We'll talk about the science days. I know you want to ask me about that. And also civil society, NGOs, artists. So we really have this global ecosystem of AI coming together to discuss what we collectively want AI to be. There are risks, there are opportunities. That's why we're calling it an action summit. We want to mitigate the risks. We want to lean into the opportunities and focus on the commons of AI, the things that we want to build together.
Well, since you took this role, brave woman that you are, AI has completely changed.
Yes.
So how has that changed your plans?
So it's changed in many ways. I mean, I think everyone saw already a year ago. It's been 2 years since ChatGPT. We have lots of other companies, services that have been launched since then. Incredible discoveries. But we've seen maybe a little less of this. This is science fiction. I really don't understand it. And a bit more of, I can see the concrete impacts on my life. And that's really what we're going to try and show at the summit. Concrete applications of AI in real life, in particular health, education, climate. And climate is another area where we've seen a big change. This huge energy demands, this race to place long-term contracts to have enough energy for enough data centers, that race to the bigger is better, that's also something that we've seen.
It's interesting in the U.S. because there's finally conversation about nuclear power, which I know France has been ahead for years and all that. Are you guys looking at the U.S. saying, okay, now you guys finally get it?
Oh, no, we're not arrogant at all. We're looking at the world and we're really trying to have the conversation around the energy needs on carbon-free energy. So clearly, nuclear is something that enables carbon-free electricity, but also renewable energy. And we're going to focus in terms of AI and climate, which wasn't a subject of discussion a year ago.
No, there's no conversation about climate. There's no conversation about equity. Mm. There's conversation about potential harms, but only in the larger sense. But your plan is to actually focus more specifically on those issues.
Completely. And so if I take, for example, AI and climate, which wasn't a topic even a year ago or 6 months ago, there's two faces to it. There's, of course, the great benefit that AI can bring to climate. For example, optimizing water consumption or energy consumption or designing better batteries to store renewable energy or helping with more accurate weather forecasts for disasters, typhoons, earthquakes, etc. And that's one of the areas of AI and climate, which we will talk about. And there's also the other side, which is the huge demand for almost limitless amounts of energy with potential carbon impact, with water consumption, rare materials. So there are the two faces, and we'll discuss both. And in line with the philosophy for the summit, we'll want to try to mitigate the potential harms and to grow and scale the benefits. So that's what we will be discussing in Paris.
You just returned from China.
Yes.
And China will participate in the summit. They play such a large role in any conversation about climate. Mm. Can you give us any sense of any agreement on anything? Any advance?
So China, of course, is invited. They were invited to the previous two summits already in Bletchley Park and in Seoul. So we're continuing with this. And if we're inviting 95 countries, it's only fair that they be one of them. They're a very interesting actor in AI. They're clearly developing AI with a strong focus on the consumer and citizen impact, but also on companies and the B2B side, and they're really impressive and very agile. They're also really focused on the climate transition in their own country. I was really struck. I hadn't been to Beijing in a number of years. Now all the cars are electric cars. And this city, which used to be super polluted, especially in winter, is much less polluted. So there, maybe people don't know this really, but there, but China is doing a lot in terms of trying to make sure they have access to enough energy, but also in terms of mitigating its impact.
In the last 2 weeks, Eric Schmidt and others have talked about the new AI that China has released. Do you look at China and other countries and say, well, China's ahead, France is ahead? How, when you bring them all together, how, when you bring all the countries together, can you get them to cooperate? Because they are at different levels.
They are at different levels, and you say that they're in competition. And clearly, we need to acknowledge. And clearly, the U.S. has started this race in the lead, very clearly. Clearly, China is doing a lot of things. Clearly, France and Europe are doing a number of things, and other countries. And this competition will continue. That's really a fact.
So are you going to use that competition to get what you want from the countries, too?
Maybe. But also, we're going to try and still, despite the competition, focus on the things that people will still want to agree on. Because I think you can compete, but also want to do things that are either useful to everyone or beneficial for people and societies and the planet. And we're discussing both. So we're discussing what are the things that can help everyone, interoperability in standards, in application of regulations, because there's a number of local, regional, voluntary, compulsory regulations. How can we focus on making things easier, more seamless? And there's a lot of conversations on that. And then there's other conversations on where should be the commons for AI? For example, AI in multiple languages, and not just 5 or 10 or 100 or even 1,000, because there's more than 1,000 languages and dialects around the world. How can we make sure we collect enough data about languages, including the ones who are not written, don't have a written corpus? And how can we make sure that language models are developed in these languages?
How do you do that? I mean, when you think about low-resource language around the world, how do you bring them in?
So lots of people are actually already starting to do things, and what we're trying to do is bring them together. There's a great project from Mozilla, which is called Common Voice, and they're going around and registering people's voices and discussions and whatever they want to say, and then trying to make sure there's a corpus of voices. And then there's people going around and trying to transcript this into written text, and then building languages on top of that. There's an initiative between Iceland and OpenAI, for example, that has done this for Icelandic. Wonderful, but that's one language. Cohere, the Canadian company, has this AIA model that they're developing in 100 different languages that are not common languages. There's more initiatives. How can we make sure it's not just piecemeal and some countries are left aside? That's one of the things that we want to do in terms of public interest AI.
Well, that comes back to the basics about AI, that it's driven by companies, not countries, and countries are guiding. But at the end of the day, it's up to the companies to decide to do exactly that.
Yes. And I don't want to downplay that. It's great the role that companies play, companies large and small, and we need to ensure there's more room, including for small companies around the world. There's really a strong appetite for that and a lot of initiatives, a lot of people.
And are you going to focus on startups?
Oh, yes. There will be lots of startups from all around the world. There's great startups. What are the latest ones I can talk to you about?
I think they're all right around us.
Yeah. They're all around here. There's one in Japan called Sakana AI. There's one in Italy called Translated. There's DeepL in Germany. There's, of course, Mistral in France. There's Helsing, which is a Franco-German startup. There's many of them. There's Kate Callot, a wonderful woman, has built her startup in Kenya. There's lots of them. So the role of large companies and small companies is very important. The role of governments is important, and they cannot alone guide this, because really it's linked to research, and the role of research is really important, and the role of civil society. So it's only by bringing everyone together that you can start seeing the road and the avenues for important things and important markers for the summit.
So this week, we are on the road to the AI Summit.
Yes.
That's why I'm honored to be here with you. The program this week is There Is No AI Without Women.
Yes.
Wow. That's incredible. How did you come up with that?
Well, it's just so natural, I guess, to make sure that there's great women. I know quite a number of them, not enough yet, but there's great women. There's, I don't know, Joël Pinault at Meta. There's Joël Barral at Google. There's Guillemette Picard at Ubisoft. Fei-Fei Li at Stanford is one of our godmothers of AI. Sarah Hooker at Cohere is the one who leads the language project that I was mentioning. There's many really brilliant women, brilliant ministers, Sina Lawson in Togo, Paolo Engabir in Rwanda, Josephine Teo in Singapore, Lucila Scioli for the AI office in Europe. So there's really a lot of them, and you don't really see them. You don't see them enough. So we really want to put a focus for the AI Action Summit on getting to interact with all these great women, getting to know more of them, getting to have specific breakfasts and events on the road to the summit with them, and ensuring AI is not built without women.
Well, that's for sure. And it's interesting because in the experience of the AI, Washington AI Network, yes, it's at one step down. It's women that have done everything. You've mentioned, yes, Joël Pinault as an example. Mm. And it's not like it's, you know, 2 days ago where three women in the corner, they've been driving the innovation for a long time.
Yes, absolutely.
And you yourself, technologist,
yes,
also, you've done this a long time. You should talk a little bit about your experience and how that's helped you in this job.
Yes. Well, I
because you're studied. Not the regular government employee.
No. I'm not even a government employee. I'm just a special envoy. But yes, I did. I studied mathematics and computer science and did a PhD in AI a long time ago. And at the time, I felt, well, really, AI is not going to have an impact on people in society anytime soon. This is how much of a crystal ball I had. And I decided to go and work in business, which I did for a number of years in telecoms, in technology, in great roles and places. A few years ago, the company I was running was sold to a private equity company. I decided to go plural with a number of boards, and to start again working on AI, because really, by the time it was 2017, 18, we could see that things were coming. Yeah, we could see, not necessarily imagine, not clearly imagine what is here now. But yes, we could see some of that. So I created a foundation on responsible AI here in France. And then the government asked me to co-chair this report on AI with fellow economist Philippe Aguillon, sure, which we presented to the government back in March. And then President Macron asked me to be the special envoy for this summit, which is great.
Yeah. And what is he looking for in this? Mm-hmm. Because he's been involved in technology a long,
yes,
time.
So he's been really involved in technology, keenly interested in AI for a long time. The first national AI strategy that France did, that was in 2018. Cédric Villani, the Fields medalist, led that. And this is something that already interested President Macron pretty much, very much at the time. So last year, he asked for an update, you know, after generative AI, a new version of the strategy, which he asked me and Philippe to co-chair. And then he said he was really keen to host this summit. In the tradition of other summits that he has organized, like, for example, the One Planet Summit or others.
And one of the biggest concerns around the world is the impact on jobs,
yes, yes,
because of AI. Is that something you're going to address?
Of course. So the future of work is really something that all governments, all citizens are asking questions about. And of course, it's a little bit of an unknown because AI is just the latest generation in its more recent years. We can, however, remember that the advance of personal computers or the arrival of PowerPoint or other tools like this actually have not lessened in the workforce. They've had an impact and there's been changes, but we don't have like a huge rise in unemployment around the world. And this is what economists are saying. The ones that are starting to study the impact of AI on work is that yes, there are some jobs that are disappearing, and clearly in television, maybe dubbing for films and automatic generation of subtitles and lightning. Those are jobs that technology can do and take. But there are lots of new jobs, like data scientists, cybersecurity, prompt engineers, etc. And in the middle, there's lots of jobs. It's the middle, but it's the wide middle, maybe 70-80% of the jobs that are changing, with some of the more administrative tasks that maybe will and maybe not the most interesting that are disappearing, and an opportunity to focus more on creativity. More people will be able to create their own films, to produce digital art, to do different things. So we'll discuss this at the summit, and we'll discuss it on the basis of scientific consensus from economists as well, to start with.
Mm. It's fascinating that you're going to spend 2 days. You're going to begin with 2 days on science for the summit. Now 6 days. I'd like you to walk through that entire week.
Yes. And you're absolutely right. We're starting with science, which I think is absolutely appropriate for AI, because AI really starts with science. It's discoveries from researchers, research teams that make all the things that we're seeing possible. And we've even seen that, of course, there's no Nobel Prizes for mathematics or computer science and even less AI. But we've just seen 2 Nobel Prizes, one on physics and one on chemistry, dedicated to AI. So science is really where we begin. We believe we need to ground discussions on scientific consensus, on evidence, on facts. So we will start with 2 days on AI and science.
And that's to advocate for trust too, right? Because you're really beginning with trust if you're beginning with science.
Exactly. This will be based on the consensus from researchers on everything, and therefore to build trust. So impact of AI on science, consensus of economists, consensus of trust on with a safety report being presented. That will be on the 6th and 7th. Of February, the Thursday and Friday. It will be hosted by the University of Saclay, of Polytechnique. We'll then continue, of course, this is Paris, yes?
Right.
So we'll continue with culture. We'll have a weekend of AI and creation, with both artists being able to showcase what AI enables them to do, or what they've been able to create with AI. Any type of arts, really, that's completely open. We'll have some of it at the National Library, which is just next door. We'll have it across Paris in the various landmarks. And we'll also have discussions, some of the more difficult discussions between artists saying, this is copyright, this is artist rights, how do I get remunerated, how can I opt out? We'll have these discussions at the weekend. And then we'll have the summit itself on 10th and 11th of February. On the 10th, at the Grand Palais, it will be a multi-stakeholder day with lots of parallel tracks, lots of discussions on all the topics around AI. And on the 11th, in the morning, still at the Grand Palais, leaders-only session hosted by President Macron, after a wonderful dinner at Élysée for them the night before. In parallel, actually, I forgot that, a wonderful party, the official party, will be on the 10th in the evening for everyone. And on the 11th, there'll also be in parallel a business forum here at Station F, and an AI and democracy event at Normal Sup in the wonderful building in the 5th, and a number of other side events. So it will be a week. It will be a whole week where everyone in AI is invited to Paris.
Okay, so in America, we have a new president coming in.
Yes.
It's only a few weeks after President Trump takes office. You've invited him?
So, of course, we've invited, as I've said, 95 heads of states.
Great.
Of course, the U.S. is invited and its head of state.
And no word yet if he's attending.
And we don't know yet. He hasn't taken
he
office.
He can't officially say.
So he can't officially.
He can't officially accept. Okay, and he's
coming for the Notre Dame event at the end of the week.
Incredible.
Incredible.
So he also has a new best buddy who's a leader in AI, Elon Musk. Have you invited him? First of all, do you know Elon Musk?
I don't know him personally, but he clearly leads a very interesting AI company, XAI. And as head of this company, he has been invited even before the elections.
Yes. And he has played a critical role in AI. Even his dispute, frankly, with OpenAI has brought more people into the conversation about AI. Do you expect he'll be a good, strong partner on this?
Well, we don't know. We wait to hear from him.
For sure. And then you've got Sam Altman, Tim Cook, Sundar Pichai, all the stars of the U.S. technology companies.
Yes.
Are they invited as well?
Of course. Of course.
It's interesting now, 6 months later, to see how the general public is talking about AI, incorporating it through a variety of companies, whether you're talking about OpenAI, Perplexity, you name the company. We've got Tim Cook here in the U.S. We've got Sundar Pichai, Sam Altman, all the stars of these technology companies. Clearly, you've invited them to the summit. Are they attending?
So we're starting to get answers on the invites that we've sent. We very much hope that all of them will be able to come. If they're not able to come, I'm sure there's great women in their teams that they can send. And we're not only inviting the heads of large companies, we're also making sure we invite startups from the US, but also from other countries. This is about big tech, but also little tech and mid tech and everyone who has something to say about AI. Either because they're creating a new technology or also because they're fast adopters, for example. I think that's very important because it enables us to see what will the applications be.
Sounds like your objective is to not just have these serious conversations about AI, but to make sure everyone knows they're part of it.
Completely. We do want to have the serious conversations, of course, but we also want to make sure this is AI for all. This is really something that whichever city, country you're from, this is not only something that you'll be able to download like an app or buy. This is something that you can help create and that will impact your life.
How about the education side?
Yes.
How are schools going to incorporate AI? American University's business school, Kogod School of Business in Washington, D.C., is this only school I know, the only program that has incorporated AI and said, you cannot be a success without AI.
Yes.
Are you going to talk about the education side?
Of course, and this is a very wide field. There's how you can harness AI for education. You can alleviate some of the administrative burden that teachers have, and they have a lot of it. You can personalize the way you help students and pupils learn. You can help them understand the tools, the potential negative effects and positive effects. And you also need to reassure the parents and everyone that this is being done in a good way. So helping teachers, helping parents, helping students is very important.
Sounds like civil society is going to participate too.
Oh, yes, absolutely. We've had very large interactions with civil society, webinars with hundreds of people wherever I travel. I always try to meet scientists, companies, of course, government officials, civil society, and artists when I can from all around the world.
You've really been on the AI world tour.
Yes. This is fascinating, actually.
You've been to more countries than Taylor Swift.
I don't know about that.
Maybe next time you should connect with her and you guys could go together. How about that?
Oh, I would love that.
Anne Bouvereau, it's such an honor to be with you
again.
Thank you for having us here in Paris. And we look forward to seeing you in February.
I look forward to seeing you in February, too. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you for listening to the Washington AI Network podcast. Be sure to subscribe and join the conversation. The Washington AI Network is a bipartisan forum bringing together the top leaders and industry experts to discuss the biggest opportunities and the greatest challenges around AI.
The Washington AI Network podcast is produced and recorded by Haddad Media. Thanks for listening.